But right now, let's head to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and welcome Jory Epstein to the program. She is a lifetime Longhorn who covers the Dallas Cowboys and the NFL for USA Today. She's also been a great friend of mine since way back in high school. Say a prayer for her for that. And she's nice enough to join us now. Jory, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me on, Brad. Great to join y'all. I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you as well. And let's jump right into things, Jory. Let's get your thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys draft before we talk about some contract issues. Obviously, a very controversial topic with the Cowboys this year. A lot of folks wanted the boys to draft a safety. They ended up taking Tristan Hill in the second round. Didn't address that safety need until the sixth round with Donovan Wilson out of Texas A&M. Just your overall thoughts on the way Jerry Steven and company completed the 2019 NFL draft.
The Cowboys didn't have a flashy draft this year, but I think when you look at their draft success the last several seasons, it's hard to really question them until you see these players get on the field. So certainly they know it. They've said it. They have invested fewer resources in that safety position than any other position on the roster. And then most other teams around the league invest in their safeties. And I think that shows when you look at how few turnovers they get. That being said, they focus their defense on if we can have this really strong defensive line and make that pass rush so intense it helps out our secondary, that's what we're going to do. So I don't think that they upgraded the safety to the point where they have one of the best safety groups by any means. That being said, I think they know what they're doing. I think that they boosted depth in a lot of different positions on the roster. And Stephen Jones did say last week that they've been getting calls about trades for safety, so you never know what could happen before the season starts in September.
Do you think that's the biggest question mark with the Cowboys going into 2019? Is it that safety position?
You know, I think it's almost the opposite of a question mark, because I think it's the exact same that it was last year. So I don't know that there's a question so much as you know what you're getting, and what you're getting isn't terrible play, but it's not the strongest. And so I think it's a question of whether they want to get better, but I don't know that they care. And Stephen Jones has said, look, we found sixth rounders like Xavier Woods. We found undrafted free agents like Jeff Heath, and we think that's good enough. And we're not as concerned about bolstering that position. So I don't think they did a lot to improve it, but I don't think they view it as a question mark. I think they're just content with realizing not every position on the roster can necessarily be strong, so we'll let safety be less strong.
That's crazy to me. All right, Jory, what about some contract conversations? Of course, the Cowboys got things done with DeMarcus Lawrence earlier this offseason. The biggest question is Dak Prescott, who, of course, is entering the final year of his rookie contract with Dallas. I mean, any quarterback for the Cowboys is going to be polarizing, but Dak Prescott, maybe at the top of the list of most polarizing QBs in this franchise's history. What's your stance on Dak, number one? Do you think the Cowboys should work a deal out with Dak, and how are negotiations going? Do you think there's a good chance a deal gets done before the start of this season?
I do think they'll get a deal done before the start of the season. Whether that comes in 2 weeks or 2 months, I'm not sure. We talked to Dak about it on Wednesday at the team's annual Home Run Derby fundraiser, and he's like, look, I don't have anxiety. I don't have worry. I want to be a Cowboy for the rest of my life, and the people doing the deal feel the same way, so I think it's going to happen. I think when you look at it, is Dak the most talented naturally quarterback in the league? No, I don't think so. I don't think he thinks that. Does he have the intangibles and work ethic? Yes. And does he have a good record and decent stats? I think he does. I mean, he's led the team to an NFC East title two of his three seasons. He hasn't put up a losing season. All of this while on a rookie contract out of the fourth round when he magically got elevated up the depth chart when Tony Romo got hurt, Kellen Moore got hurt, and now those guys are broadcasting an offensive coordinator. So I think another thing to keep in mind, as one of the Dallas Morning News columnists here likes to say, is you can say you don't want your quarterback, but until you have a replacement, think twice about what you're saying. So I don't think that not signing Dak to an extension is going to get you where you need to be at the position. I think in an ideal world, you get him to take a deal where it doesn't keep you from having the rest of the offense be strong and have those resources invested in it.
No doubt. And Dak, obviously, priority number one for this franchise moving forward. But there's three other guys who are free agents either after this year or next year, and that's Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper, and Byron Jones, all really instrumental pieces to this team. If you had to rank them one through three, Jory, on, you know, deals that you think are most likely to get done this offseason, and hey, you could say none if you think none of them are going to happen, how would you sort of rank Zeke, Amari, and Byron in terms of which deals can get done by this front office?
I don't think Amari and Byron will get done this offseason. I think Zeke is a maybe, and I think all of their reasons are different. So Zeke, the Cowboys picked up his fifth-year option for 2020. It's about $9 million. They've got him under contract for two more years. The question is, will he hold out, and what does he want? He says he's fine and not concerned. What becomes interesting with guys like Zeke and Amari is it's almost this back and forth of, if you're Zeke, do you want to get this locked down so you have this guarantee because you're getting hit so much and putting so much into it? But I've also seen people say that for Amari, and it applies to both of them, it's all about resetting the market. So the Cowboys have said with Zeke, we're going to look at this Todd Gurley deal. I believe it was 4 years, $60 million, 45 guaranteed, and say that's the type of market that we're set in. And every time someone does a new deal, the market gets reset. So although the Cowboys don't want to pay everyone too early, they almost have incentives to get these deals done so they don't have to pay after someone else has reset the market. For Amari, he's got incentive to say, wait, let another receiver get paid, and then I'll come back and get more because he's created that value. I think with Byron Jones, they are going to wait, but they do want to sign these guys. It's just a question of, as Stephen Jones says, we're giving the money, but how are we giving it and to whom?
Jory Epstein, who covers the Cowboys for USA Today, nice enough to join us now. She's an absolute rising star in this industry. Follow her on Twitter at Jory Epstein. Jory, I saw you tweet out a couple of days ago at a Dallas Cowboys charity event. Jason Witten was walking up to reporters introducing himself as a rookie tight end. It's going to feel that way a little bit. Of course, he wasn't a part of things a year ago. Do you expect Jason Witten to have any sort of legitimate contribution for this team in 2019?
Right, we definitely have the rookie tight end jokes, and I'm not yet sick of them. I still think they're funny. Also, from my understanding, when Jason Witten went back into the weight room to start their off-season program, they gave him one of their rookie weightlifting sheets to completely start his numbers anew because he had been away for 9 months. I think he'll be able to contribute. I think there are two aspects. One, from all outside appearances, which are not everything, he looks like he's in great shape, and he hasn't been away from the game that long. Plus, he's not coming back in August 15th saying in 2 weeks I'm going to play. He'll have 6 months to ready himself for the season, and he knows what he's been doing for 15 years. He knows how to ready himself. I also think when you look at a guy like Tom Brady, obviously he's very gifted, but one of the reasons Tom Brady's still performing at that level is because the mental awareness of what he has of the game and what he needs to do is so high, and I think Witten brings that. So I think he'll have fewer snaps than he once did, which is pretty easy to do considering he never came off the field in the peak of his career. But I think that as they try and get other people time, I think that both off the field in terms of what he does for the locker room and tight end film study and also on the field, he will be able to be productive. And if he can at least do a little bit at the beginning of the season, just having him threatening underneath will open up a lot for guys like Amari and Zeke.
Absolutely. And Jory, before we let you go, I mentioned you also cover the NFL for USA Today, and you're a lifetime Longhorn. You wrote a great story a couple of weeks ago about Gary Johnson and all that he's gone through over the course of his life to make it to the National Football League. I'm going to retweet this story. I want to encourage everybody to read it, but for a minute, if you will, just kind of plug this story and talk a little bit about Gary Johnson's journey from UT to the NFL.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, that was one of my favorite stories I've worked on. Here I am. Like, I'd been at the NFL Combine in February, and then I came home for the last couple days. I'm watching the broadcast, and I hear them mention that Gary Johnson had been in foster and group homes, has a great story, and looking forward to see what he can do. And then the broadcast mentioned nothing else. Gary runs his really fast 40 time that helped get him on teams' boards. And I'm like Googling him, and I can't find anything about this story, which is exciting for a reporter when something hasn't already been written 100 times. So essentially, Gary's mom had him at 14 years old. By age 4, he was in the foster care system because she had a drug addiction. And then he had all sorts of twists and turns you can read about in this story. But just the number of setbacks that he shouldn't be on an NFL team, even if it's a 90-man roster right now, I understand, really amazed me. And the candidness he spoke about with. And also just, I mean, the strength it takes for someone like him to overcome as many things as he did. And by no means is he saying he's a perfect human and has made no mistakes. He butts heads with plenty of people and did with Todd Orlando, among others, at Texas. But I think that I couldn't get over. We're walking from Texas Pro Day back to the football facilities just across campus as I'm interviewing him. And he couldn't go a minute without someone rolling down a car window or otherwise to say, hi, oh, do you need anything? Where are you going? I mean, he just seemed like the Pied Piper of campus. And I was really inspired by how he overcame things to both succeed on and off the field. He's now got two kids under 5 months old who he wants to support for. So he didn't end up getting drafted. He signed with the Chiefs as an undrafted free agent, which is a 3-year deal. I'm really pulling for him. I was actually kind of disappointed when they traded for a linebacker this week. So I'm like, stop putting people ahead of Gary on the depth chart. But I'm hoping that because he has special teams experience and skill, that he'll at least be able to make his way onto a roster through special teams as he continues to develop, and hopefully his size will not be something to keep him back. So we'll see, but he's in Kansas City right now going through their offseason program, and I look forward to seeing where he goes.
No doubt. It's great stuff, and it's a great story from USA Today Sports. All right, follow her on Twitter, at Jory Epstein, and we'll definitely check in at some point down the road, Jory, but thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate you joining us for a couple minutes today.
Thanks, Brad. Look forward to being back on. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Sounds good. There she goes, Jory Epstein, covering the Cowboys and the NFL for USA Today. And I'm thankful for Jory. She knows a lot about me. She's known me since high school. She threatened to, you know, bring some stuff up, make some jokes about old BK, and she was nice enough to not do that. So I appreciate her for that.